Hey, good morning, church. Let me get situated here. As Logan mentioned, Don had an unexpectedly go to a funeral. A close friend of his, or close family friend of theirs, passed away unexpectedly, so they felt led to go to Minnesota. So they left Friday, and then they left Friday, and then Saturday was the funeral, and then today they come back for about a 10-hour drive. So be praying for them. And then Pastor Rick is on has an anniversary good away, so you're stuck with me. So I'm just going to be honest with you. So if I had a privilege of introducing myself, my name is Adam Jansen. I'm the worship and youth pastor here. So I want to start off with kind of a funny story. Sometimes I feel like when you try to do a practical joke, it doesn't go how you want it to go, okay? So let me just give you a perfect example. So a couple weeks ago, my family and I, we were over at Pepe's Mexican Grill. Everybody been to Pepe's? Everybody been? Awesome place, right? At least I think so. And when we were going there because we were celebrating our kids at the end of summer, beginning of school starts, so the kids wanted to go out somewhere. So we get there, and we found out the Riley clan was there, and they were sitting on one side of the restaurant, and we were sitting in a booth, and there's a wall right here. Now, these details are very important, so make sure you keep this in mind. So then we're sitting there, and my wife, I always say my wife Ashley is the planner, and I am the doer, okay? So when it comes to jokes, she's the planner and I'm the doer, because the doer gets blamed for a lot of things, let's be honest with each other. So Ashley told me, she's like, we should play a practical joke on the Riley family. I said, okay. And Don and I, we have a great chemistry. We always play practical jokes on each other all the time. We get stuff done, but we play practical jokes. So we decided, we're like, okay, if we bring the waitress over, tell her that there's a group on the other side, and tell the Riley clan that, hey, they're a little too loud. Some random table said that. So what I did was I brought this waitress over, really nice lady. She was a good sport about it. Brought the waitress over. I said, hey, we know this family on the other side of the wall, but they're on the other side of the restaurant. It's the only big party there. It's the only big party there. I said that. And I told her, can you tell that table, say, hey, some random table saying that you're way too loud, you need to calm down. And she said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, but I'm not the waitress for that table. I'll tell the other waitress that. So then I'm waiting a few minutes and not hearing anything. So I was like, well, I got to go to the restroom. So I went over to Don. I said, going by the shoulders, and I was like, hey, I said, I heard you guys were too loud over here. There was some random table. And Don said, what are you talking about? And this waitress came up to me and said, oh, it was for this table? I thought it was for this table. They were literally on the other side of the wall, and it was a bigger party. There were two big parties there. I didn't know that, okay? So you can imagine my face when I saw that, and I said, lady, I told the lady, I'm like, I am so, so sorry. And she said, oh, that's okay. And these guys looked like they were getting ready to beat me down like no one's business. I share that because sometimes our ways don't go according to plan, right? Amen? So my title of my message this morning, does anybody know what that middle symbol is? Anybody want to tell me, all you math geniuses out there? Anybody want to tell me? Greater than. So God's ways are greater than your ways. That's the title of my message this morning. So I want to begin with a simple question. What do you do when God doesn't make sense? Okay, think about that. What do you do when you pray, but the answer doesn't come when we want it to? What do you do when you have a plan for your life, but God seems to take you into a completely different direction? And then lastly, what do you do when something happens that you don't understand? Maybe some of you ask those questions, and maybe even more simpler questions. You probably ask, God, why did this happen? Or why didn't you answer my prayer? Or what's other ones? And sometimes, if we're honest with each other, we want God to explain himself, right, to us. We want that 5-year plan. We want the explanation. We want to know how everything is going to work out before we're willing to take the next step, right? We always want that 5-year plan. I hate that question, honestly, when people ask, what do you want to do in 5 years? And I usually say, whatever God wants me to. I'm going to be honest with you. I just don't like that question. But the passage that Phil read this morning, Isaiah 55, 6 through 9, it reminds us of something very important, okay? God doesn't ask us to understand everything he is doing. He asks us, now listen to this, he asks us to trust him. Amen? You with me? I know it's Labor Day weekend. We all want to go home and sleep. I understand that. So my first point that I want to bring up, God is calling us to seek him, right? Isaiah, just to give you an idea, Isaiah is considered a major prophet, okay? So he's what I like to call a very kind of a big deal prophet. I mean, he has 50 plus books in the book of Isaiah, so he must be pretty popular, right? With these four verses, Isaiah is commanding us in this in verse 6. So let's put up verse 6 for a minute. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Say seek.
Seek.
Seek the Lord while you can find him. Notice that Isaiah doesn't say, think of the Lord while you can find him. He doesn't say, consider the Lord while you can find him. And he doesn't even say, put Lord on your list of priorities. No, he simply says, seek the Lord. And guys, there's a difference between knowing about God and actually seeking God. Do you know that? There's a huge difference between those two. I mean, for example, you can know your Bible verses. You can read scripture. You can memorize scripture. And you can know it and not seek God. You can attend church and not seek God. You can sing your favorite worship songs or hymns or whatever and not seek God. And get this. You can even be involved in ministry and become so busy doing things for God that you stop pursuing God himself. I've been there, trust me. I do the normal things, logistics things, and then I have to stop and think, wow, I'm not pursuing him and I need to. The question isn't simply, are you around the things of God? The question is simply, are you seeking God? Are you seeking God? God is not a religion. It's a relationship with him. Amen? I mean, I tell people that all the time. God desires a relationship with you. Okay? So let's take a scenario. Think about how we seek something we really want. So your family, you're getting your kids ready to go. You're ready to head out the door. You get to your car, and you're like this. I don't have my keys. So you go in. You go to the spot where your keys are at. But there's one problem. Your keys aren't there. And you're struggling, and you're probably not going to get to that soccer practice or soccer game on time. You're struggling to find the keys, and you're asking your kids to get the keys, but they're not helping because they're arguing with their brother Timmy or whatever the case may be. And you're looking for these things. You're looking under things. You're checking places where you last found them. You move things around. And you don't casually look for 5 seconds and say, well, I guess they're gone. I can't do anything with them. No, you're seeking those keys, right? You're seeking them because they're very important. Isaiah says, seek the Lord. How you're seeking those keys is how you need to seek the Lord. It's how I need to seek the Lord. And I never thought of it that way, honestly. We always want to find our phones, right? We always lose our phones sometimes. But it's so important. We need to seek the Lord. Make him the pursuit of your life. Not just in his blessings, not just in his answers, not just what he can do for you. Seek him. Amen? Let's look at that second part of verse 6 for a minute. Ooh, that's flavored water. I didn't know that. It's peach. Look, anyway, I don't like peaches, honestly. So the second part of verse 6, call on him now while he is near. Think about that. Call on him now while he is near. There is a sense of urgency in that verse. You know, God is calling us, and we need to respond. Amen? The top five greatest mistakes we can make spiritually is assuming that we will always have another opportunity. We always have, maybe you had an opportunity come and you're saying, well, I can't do this because financially I'm not ready, or I'm not ready to move, or whatever. We always want to think, oh, there's another opportunity that's going to come. But honestly, that's one of the biggest mistakes that we make, is assuming that there will be another opportunity. Now, I want you to hear me on this next point. God calls us to leave our own way. Let me read that again. God calls us to leave our own way. I didn't say lead, L-E-D-E-L-E-A-D. I said leave. And again, one of the, let's look at verse 7. I want you to look at verse 7 for a minute. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. You catch that? Let the wicked change their ways. Another biggest spiritual problem isn't always what we're doing. Sometimes it's the way we're thinking. You know, we have to have our way. We have our plans. We have our opinions, which I know a lot of us have opinions. I do too. I work for an insurance company. People give them my opinion. Let's be honest with each other. We give our opinions. We have our expectations. We have our own understanding of how things should work. There are times we come to God and say, here's what I think you should do, God. Or here's how I think you should fix this, God. Or my favorite one, God, here's the person I think you should change. I'm guilty of that too. And I think to myself, you know, and when God doesn't do it our way, we struggle, don't we? Amen? We struggle. We're man enough to say that. But Isaiah says in that first part of verse 7, let the wicked change their ways. So in other words, stop insisting your way. Stop it. It's like I tell my kids, stop doing that. Turn from your way and turn toward God. Can I get an amen to that? Turn from your way and turn toward God. Our way isn't always God's way. But we feel sometimes our way just seems so right because it feels good, right? But it's not going to be our way. So you don't have to turn here, but let's look at Proverbs 14:12, excuse me. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Read that again. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. And some of you are saying, that sounds like a really morbid verse, Adam. You're ending in death. And honestly, that's a very, very sombering verse. It says that there can be a way that feels right, but yet it still can be wrong. There can be a decision that looks right and still be outside of God's will. There can be a door that looks amazing and still not be the door God wants you to walk through. So there might be a promotion that you might be getting at work, and they give you a figure of six figures. And at first it sounds awesome because it covers whatever, but it may not be God's plan, honestly. And there can be something we desperately want that God knows would ultimately hurt us. Now listen here. This is why surrender is so important. Say surrender. Surrender is so important. Because faith isn't just saying, God, I'll trust you as long as you agree with me. That's not what faith is. Faith is, God, I trust you even when I don't understand you. That is real faith. That's being a manly man, as I would call it. Next point. God wants to change our thinking. God wants to change our thinking. Why would he want to do that? Because what we think affects how we live. You with me? You guys with me on this? I've got some of you with me. If you believe God has abandoned you, you'll live differently. If you believe God doesn't care about you, you'll live differently. If you believe you have to control everything, which I'll be honest, I like to have control of everything sometimes. That's my worship team. They'll tell you. I like to have control. You'll live differently. Honestly, you'll live differently. But when you understand who God is, it changes the way you think. Let me say that again. But when you understand who God is, it changes the way you think. Now, a few weeks ago, I think beginning of August, Pastor Rick preached on Romans 12:2, and I want to put that up on the screen here. So Romans 12:2, this is the first part of verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, what's that word? Transform you. Say transform. But God, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God wants to transform our thinking. He wants to. We're not going to be the same Christian for the rest of your life. We got to grow. We got to learn. I don't care how old you are. We got to grow in our faith. Sometimes the miracle we need isn't for God to change our circumstances, but it's the miracle we need is for God to change us in the middle of our circumstance. I feel like sometimes when we have a certain circumstance or certain situation, we feel like God's got to prepare this beforehand. It's like having like a powwow talk. But honestly, when we go through a situation or a circumstance, he's going to do it right in the middle, and it's going to come before we least expect it. I've been there. Trust me. I've been there. And then we bring us to the conclusion of this verse. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Let me say that again. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We're going to let's pull up verse 8 and 9. I want to read verse 8 and 9 here for a minute. So verse 8, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. This is God saying this. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. So let's go to verse 9 for a minute. Let's go to verse 9. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So let's think about the comparison that's mentioned in verse 9 for a minute. Let's go to that comparison. So for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, this doesn't say my thoughts are a little better than yours. It's not saying that, right? No, Isaiah is saying as the heavens are higher than the earth. I mean, think about how far that is. Because here's the thing. You and I don't have God's perspective. We don't. You and I don't know everything he knows. Gosh, if I knew everything God knew, I'd be a millionaire. Just be honest. You and I can't see the future. I wish we'd have a time machine like in Back to the Future. Have you ever seen that movie? You can only see today. I can only see today. But God sees eternity, right? Right? God sees eternity. We see the circumstance. God sees the purpose in that circumstance, right? And this next point, some people get a little antsy on this. Sometimes God's no is a part of his yes. Sometimes God's no is a part of his yes. One of the hardest things in our walk with Christ is accepting that God may say no. Think about it. Be a kid for a minute. Your kid comes up to you and says, can I have some ice cream? And you, as the big bad parent, says no. And that hurts a kid when they don't want that big bowl of ice cream. It's like us, when we ask God, it's almost like asking God for a big bowl of ice cream, and he says no. It's almost like that, honestly. And we don't like the word no, right, sometimes. We don't like the word no, especially as an adult. And especially, we don't like to know, especially when we pray, especially when we believe, and especially what we've done, everything we know to do. But sometimes God just says, no. I usually tell my kids, which part do you not understand, the N or the O, okay? I always tell my kids that all the time. And honestly, we don't understand why he says no. We don't. I was sharing this with our youth group. We were concluding a prayer series. Paul experiences this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. You don't have to turn to it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, Paul prays three times for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. And guess what? God didn't remove it. You know, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, we want explanations, but God wants trust. If God explained everything to us, we wouldn't need faith. If God showed us exactly how every situation would work out, we wouldn't have to trust him. But faith requires us to walk when we can't see the whole picture. And there's so many examples in Scripture. I think about one of my top favorite passages is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, the call of Abraham. Read it sometime. We think about the story of Moses. We even think about in the New Testament when Peter is stepping out of the boat and is walking on the water. You want to talk about faith? That's faith right there. And that's a whole other story in and of itself. But we need faith. Amen? And then the next point, trusting God means surrendering control. How many of you like to be in control of things? Let's just be honest. Everybody, we like to be in control. There's a few of you in this room. Or some of you, I think, you might be lying, I don't know. But anyway, that's for not me to judge. But anyway, but most of us like to be in control. We want to know. We want to plan. We want to have certainty. And we want guarantees. But here's the thing, guys. Hear me out on this. Christianity requires surrender. Say surrender. It requires surrender. I mean, it says it in verse 9. We have to say, God, your ways are higher than mine. I think we need to say that from time to time when we go through life. God, your ways are higher than mine. Here's the beauty of this. God's ways are higher, and that's good news for us. Did you know that? Let's put up that next slide for a minute. God's ways equals good news. We should be excited for that. Sometimes we read verse 9 and think, well, God's ways are higher. I'll just never understand God. Let me say it again. We think that God's ways are higher, but I'll never understand God. I'll never understand. That's not what that verse is. That verse is not meant to discourage us, but instead that verse is meant to encourage us. Think about this. If God's ways were only as good as ours, we would be in trouble. Honestly. If God's wisdom were limited to our wisdom, we couldn't trust him. God's ways are greater than your ways. When we don't understand, we can trust him. When we can't see, we can follow. When we don't know, we can believe. Because here's the thing, God knows. Amen? I believe that so much. Having this Christian life is not meant to be easy, guys. I know when I encounter people or I walk people through their walk with Christ, they think, oh, I have God in my heart. It's going to be the sunshine and rainbows, as I call it. But here's the thing, it's not going to be easy. There will be times, and some of you have been through this, there will be times when God doesn't make sense. Prayers you don't understand. Doors that will be closed. And circumstances that hurt. And there will be moments when we ask, why God? Why did you do this? And sometimes he will give you an answer, and sometimes he won't. Sometimes he'll give you the answer that you don't want to hear, all right? Sometimes the answer from God will simply be, trust me. You ever tell your spouse, hey, so-and-so, trust me. And then your spouse says, well, I don't know if I trust you. No, trust me. God's telling us that. Trust me. So what should we do in life circumstances? What should we do? Seek the Lord. What if we don't understand God? Anybody? Seek the Lord. Say it. Seek the Lord. What is God asking you to surrender today? Is he asking you to surrender all your plans? Is he asking you to surrender your future? Is he asking you to surrender your relationship, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your relationship with your parents or your siblings? or any family members, maybe you need to surrender your bitterness. I'll be honest with you. There was a couple weeks ago where I was real bitter. And not anybody at church. I want you to know that. It wasn't anybody at church. It was somebody at work. And I was just so bitter. Maybe you need to surrender your fear or your control or your habit or your reputation or maybe something from your past. You need to surrender that to him. Again, seek him. Trust him. Maybe you've been trying to control something that needs to belong in God's hands. Release it to him. Now, I'm almost done. But there, a couple years ago, I was playing over a Bible Missions Conference of Beulah Beach, and maybe some of you were at Bible Missions Conference in 2024, but my good friend David Trainer, he did a song during an offertory, and it was called Your Ways by Shane and Shane. And I love Shane and Shane so much. They're a great group. But it's based on Isaiah 55. And I want to read this song to you. So I want you to hear this out, okay? So the song's called Your Ways. And you can YouTube it or whatever. But verse one, it says, tried my way chasing the wind. Went astray in sinking sand. Leaned on my own understanding till you show me. And then the chorus goes, your ways are better than mine. Always, always, your thoughts are divine. As high as the heavens above the earth, your ways are better. We've heard that before, right? In verse 2, it says, all like sheep, we've gone astray. You found me and took my place. All my sin laid upon you because you love me. And then that chorus, your ways are better than mine. Always, always your thoughts are divine. As high as the heavens above the earth, your ways are better. And then the bridge, it says, show me your, I'm paraphrasing this bridge, but show me your ways are better. Show me your ways are higher. Show me your ways and I will follow. It's interesting because we see this phrase, God's ways are greater than our ways, and we can say that. But do we actually mean it? And I think it's a great reminder sometimes. And again, we just need to surrender. So do me a favor today. Don't run from God because you don't understand. If anything, run to him and not away from him. You with me? Run to him and not away from him. In verse 6, it says, seek him, right? Two little measly words. But have big impact. Seek him. Call upon him. Return to him. Trust him. And believe that even when you cannot see the whole picture, God definitely can. And I'm very happy that God definitely can. Because sometimes I don't even see the big picture sometimes. You with me? This makes sense. I think this is something I think we need to hear. And my prayer is for you this morning. If you are struggling, maybe you're in a circumstance, maybe you're seeking out what God has planned for you. I would ask you, you're not alone in this situation. You're not. We're here for you. I'm here for you. Pastor Don, Pastor Rick, our elders, our leadership team, we're here to help you in your walk with Christ. And I know that there may be some here, and I've talked to some of you that are struggling to trying to figure out, what does God have planned for me? What is the way that God wants me to? And how do you know if it's God's way? You'll know, because the opportunity will be there. Don't wait until that next opportunity. Don't let the opportunity go by. Amen? We're going to conclude a little differently, and I just feel led we need to. And I'm going to ask Logan to come on up, and he's going to close us in prayer. Can we stand as we close in prayer here this morning? And I want you to think about, maybe there's ways in your life that you're just like, man, I need to surrender that this morning. As Logan prays, the altars are always open, and if you want us to pray for you, we definitely will. So Logan closes out in prayer, and he'll dismiss us.